Second Kings with me this morning. Second Kings, chapter number 2. Second Kings, chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 9. I'm going to read a few verses, and we're going to go back, and we're going to touch on some things throughout the whole chapter. But we'll use these verses as our springboard, our getting off place. If you found 2 Kings chapter number 2, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Now I know there's something in the bulletin that says 12:30. If we're done by 12:30, that's fine. But if we're not done to 1:30, this is where we'll be. Amen. So don't you even be worrying about the time. Amen. I catch anybody looking at your watch. I'm gonna pull an Elijah on you, and just them kids come and called him bald head. He cursed them in the name of the Lord, and two she-bears come out and tore 40 and two of them kids to pieces. Little obnoxious brats. Amen. See, they're all downstairs this morning. I can talk that way. Truly this morning, we don't want you to be concerned about time. We're going to get out there to eat. Don't worry about it. Verse number 9 says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and the horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace this morning? This is a very familiar story to most people in the Word of God, that how Elijah the prophet was carried up into heaven in a chariot of fire, and how he was one of two men in the Bible that never had to see death because they were translated. They were taken straight to heaven and didn't have to go by the way of the grave. I'm glad to report unto you one day, if the Lord tarries his coming, that folks... it might happen today, amen. But if the Lord tarries is coming, one day there's going to be a whole lot of folks that get to experience the same thing, that know Jesus as their Savior. It's called the rapture, the snatching out, the taking out of the church, that they're going to be taken out. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Praise God. It isn't going to be the last time that it happened, but praise God, we know that it did happen because the Bible tells us so. And Elijah was taken away. Elijah, his servant, his student, one that is going to follow after him and take up his place, the one whom God had called, the one whom God had instituted, the one whom God had chosen to take his place, is now with him. And he says, ask something of me before I go, and I'll see what I can do for you. He says, I want a double portion of the spirit that was upon you. Elijah said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, it shall be so. But but if not, it won't be so. And sure enough, as they were walking along, the fiery chariot and the horses of fire came and they divided them asunder and took Elijah. And he saw the chariot disappear into the clouds, and the mantle of Elijah fell on Elijah. Amen. And as he walked back, now as they had come across Jordan, Elijah took his mantle off and he folded it and he smote the waters, and the waters parted, and they walked across on dry land. And Elijah has come back now with the mantle of Elijah. He has torn his own garments. He has taken on the mantle of Elijah, and he comes back now and he gets to Jordan, and he takes the mantle that fell, and he strikes the water, and he said, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" He wanted to know. He wanted to be sure. He wanted to have confidence in the fact that what Elijah told him was going to happen or would happen. And praise God, the Bible says the waters parted and he walked across again on dry land. You know what? Most people today would like to have that kind of power. Most people in our churches today want to experience that kind of moving of the Spirit of God in their lives. They want to experience what it's like to have God move in a mighty way in their lives. And they come and they just go through the routine of worship. They go through the routine of carrying out the commission of God, the Jesus' great commission to go and tell folks about Jesus. We walk through this world so mundane. We walk through this world so cast down. We walk through this world so discouraged. And we wonder why we don't experience the great blessings like the men of old had experienced. Amen? We're missing out on what God would like for us to have. Amen? And it's not God's fault that we're missing out on it. Amen? It's our own fault. It's our own responsibility. It's our own shortcoming that's keeping us from knowing what God wants us to have. You know, everybody in America today, well, most people they claim to be Christian, but even if they don't claim to be Christian, they think that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. Either that or they're atheists, and they're not going to go anywhere. Amen? They're going somewhere, I assure you. Amen? And it's not where they think either. Amen? But most people, they want to die and they want to go to heaven. But they want no part of God. Amen? They want no part of what God has to offer. They want no part of what God has to give. Most people that are professing Christians, they want all the blessings of God, but they don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way. And I hear people all the time argue the point, well, if God, he has to do this, God don't have to do anything. God don't have to meet your theology. You need to meet God's theology. Amen? God doesn't do it your way. You do it God's way. You forget that he is the creator and you are the created. Amen. And the creator does not answer to his creation. Amen. We answer to him. If you want to live in power, it's going to cost you something. On Wednesday night, we preached out of 1 Kings over 19. When God told Elijah to go and choose out and go to anoint Elijah to be his successor. And Elijah left everything. Amen? He answered the call of God. He done it God's way. He left everything. Now for 10 years, roughly 10 years, Elijah has followed Elijah. And he's watched Elijah do the things that Elijah does. Elijah was a great man of God. Elijah had great power with God. Do you remember when the Bible says that Elijah told Ahab, the first time we see Elijah come on the scene, he tells Ahab that it's not going to rain until I say so. Amen? And guess what happened? For 3.5 years it didn't rain until Elijah. Amen? When they sent the men to go and arrest Elijah, and the captain and his 50 came to arrest him. And Elijah called fire down from heaven, and it consumed the 50. They sent another 50. He called fire down from heaven. It consumed another 50. The next time the 50 come, the captain had enough sense to beg for mercy, and he found mercy. I'm glad you can find mercy with Jesus. Amen. I'm glad you can find mercy with God's people if you seek it. Then we see Elijah and the prophets of Baal, how he called down the fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice that had been doused in water. How we see the miracle of the widow's meal, how it didn't run out and sustained them through the time of drought when he had said it wasn't going to rain. We see so many miracles that Elijah had done. And now Elijah is following him and for 10 years has watched him and witnessed him and no doubt has seen how Elijah had a relationship with God that was unique. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about these 10 years that he's with Elijah. But I'm sure that Elijah didn't have the power that he had with God for no reason. Amen. I'm sure that he had a devout and humble life, a surrendered and a submitted life, and was willing to do whatever it is that God wanted. And now here is Elijah, and he's followed for 10 years. He's witnessed this. And now here's Elijah. He sees his mentor leaving him, and he knows he's going this very day, and he wants to have a double portion. But Elijah had brought him on a journey on his way to Jordan, on his way to this victory, on his way to this power. That's important for us to see and to understand some things in our lives if we want to live in power and we want to know the power of prayer. We want to know the power of the assurance of God's will. We want to know the assurance of what God wants us to do. Let's go back and take this journey with Elijah and Elijah. In verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, tarry ye here." They're in Gilgal, and he's brought him to Gilgal for a purpose, I do believe. I do believe each one of these places that he goes is there for a significance, is there for a purpose. You see, Gilgal, in case you don't remember, how many remembers where Gilgal is? Hey, how many remembers the story about the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River? They crossed the Jordan River. They set up their camp in Gilgal. Amen. And when they got to Gilgal, God gave instruction. God told Joshua, there's some things that need to be attended to. There's some things that need to be taken care of. You need to affirm your relationship. You need to affirm your devotion. You need to affirm your identity with me. You know, the problem with a lot of folks today is we want to say we're Christian, but we don't affirm that we're a Christian by the lives that we live. Amen. The problem with America today, they want to affirm for the most part that they're a Christian nation, but everything we see about our nation is far from it. Amen. When they get to Gilgal, God tells Joshua that it's time to circumcise all the males because they haven't been doing what God had told them to do. Even though for 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness, they hadn't been fulfilling everything that God had said to do. So when they get to this place, Gilgal, and they make their camp there, God tells Joshua, it's time. It's time for the people to identify with me. It's time for the people to decide who it is that they're following. It's time for the people to make this commitment to say that they're going to follow after me to place this mark upon their flesh that identifies them with me. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept a Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. You see, to have power with God, they had to have a relationship with God. To have a relationship with God, it required them to fulfill what God had said must be done. If you wanted to identify as one of His, you had to be identified by the mark upon the flesh. If you wanted to identify as one of His, you identified by worshiping Him and keeping the Passover. The first thing they done was they had to bring the flesh into subjection. Amen. They had to surrender themselves to do what God had said needed to be done. There are many folks today who wonder why God won't do things in their life, but they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. They've never identified themselves with Him according to His plan. Amen. And they're going through life and they're struggling with the things of life, but they don't want nothing to do with God. Well, everybody will think I'm crazy. Everybody will make fun of me. Everybody's going to say this and everybody's going to say that. I got news for you. They can say whatever they want to. But if you're going to be one of His, you need to identify with Him. Amen. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You need to make Him your personal Savior. Amen. If you're a child of God, everybody that you know, everybody that sees you, ought to know that you're a child of God just because of the way you live. Just because of the way you talk, the way you walk. Amen. The way you dress, the things that you do, the places you go, the places you won't go. Amen. Ought to identify you with Jesus. Amen. You say, well, now you're getting in legal. Now you're starting to talk. It's works. No, it's not works. Amen. I'm not saved by my works, but because of my salvation, my works are different than what they used to be. Amen. I'm a different person. The Bible says, hey, we are a peculiar people. Amen. A peculiar, you know what that means? We're different. You're going to be different than the world. You need to identify with them. That's what Gilgal was. It was a place of affirmation, of identifying themselves with God in the flesh. And not only that, they identified in their worship, in their hearts, and in their souls. Amen. You want power with God, you get close to God. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Amen. You want to worship Him. You want to have power with Him. You worship Him the way that He says that you need to worship Him. It's not coming to church and sitting on a pew. It's not throwing a few dollar bills into an offering plate. It's not doing all these good things and good deeds that you can do. It's giving God your heart, your undivided heart, giving Him your whole heart, and letting Him have control. Amen. Letting Him be in charge. Letting Him be everything to you that He wants to be, and be willing to give up everything that you might have Him, and praise God. Then you'll see something happen. Amen. He never said you're going to be rich. He never promised anybody that you was going to be rich. He never said you would be without trouble. As a matter of fact, He says just the opposite. He said, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to face trouble. You're going to face persecution. Amen. He said, but you still need to identify with me. You still need to sell out to me. I need to be the most important thing in your life. You know, we got folks that have every reason in the world not to just come and worship God, not to come to worship. And they're always having problems and wondering why things are going on in their life. Why don't you try turning things around? Amen. Why don't you try putting Him first? Why don't you try putting Him foremost in your life? The first thing they did when they got into the promised land was to affirm their identities, was to affirm their relationship with the Lord. Folks, if you're here this morning and you don't have a close walk with God, if you're not closer today than you were yesterday, and if you're not closer today than you was the day before yesterday, if you're not closer today than you was the day that you got saved, you need to find a place at the altar and say, Lord, I want you more today. Lord, you're more important to me today than anything in this world. Lord, you're first and foremost. Lord, you're the most important thing in my life. Elijah said, why don't you tarry here? He said, because I'm going on down the road. He said, the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Verse number 2, and Elijah said unto them, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I shall not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. They left Gilgal, the place of affirmation, and they went to Bethel. How many remembers what Bethel means? How many remembers what Bethel is? Amen. Jacob was fleeing his brother Esau and was going to live with his uncle Laban, he stopped by a place, near a place called Luz. It was formerly called Luz. And just outside of the city of Luz, he found a place where he decided to sleep for the night. And the Bible says he laid some stones for his pillows. And as he was there that night, he got a vision of the glory world. He got a vision of the Lord. He got a vision of the angels ascending up and down the ladder. And he woke and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And surely this is the gate to heaven. He thought he'd found the place where God dwelt. And he named the place Bethel. Beth means house. And El, in case you don't know it in the Bible, anytime you see a name that ends with El, that means God. Amen. Bethel means the house of God. And God told Jacob there when he got to his house. God told Jacob there when he got to where he was. God told Jacob there when he got him broken to the place that he had nobody else to go to, that he would be there for him and he would be there with him. Listen to what he says in Genesis 28:15-19. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in the place whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillows set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of this city was called Luz at first. Jesus, the Lord God, had promised him his presence in his life. I tell you what, you'll never know how sweet it is to have Jesus in your life until you get to the house of God, amen, and you get to worship God, and you get to feel his presence. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be right there in the midst also, amen. There's nothing like being in church. There's nothing like worshiping him with like-minded believers who know him as their Savior, who trust him as their all in all. There's nothing like going into the world and knowing that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, wherever he sends you, whatever it has, he has for you to do. There's nothing like doing it with him by your side. He doesn't send you to do it alone. He doesn't send you out to work in your own knowledge and in your own time. He said, I'll fulfill everything that I said. Praise God. He said, he come to save to the uttermost. I want you to know this morning, he saves to the uttermost. Amen. He don't halfway save you. He don't maybe save you. He don't might save you. Praise God. He said he would save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. And when he saves you, he doesn't send you into the world to fight the battles alone. He says, just take on the armor of God. I'll prepare you for the fight. And then when you go into the fight, you don't even have to worry about it. We read time and time again again in the Old Testament where God went with his people and all they had to do was show up for the battle and God done the fighting. Amen. I've been in some situations. I've had some battles. I've had some things to deal with. And I've tried dealing with them on my own and I made a mess of it. But praise God, I learned it when I could just stand back and say, Lord, the battle's not mine, but it's yours. Lord, I can't win this fight, but I know you can. That the Lord has stepped in and he's brought victory into my life time and time again. I'm thankful this morning, dear friend, that I've never had to go it alone. He's always been there with me. See, Elijah wanted Elisha to know that he has to make a commitment. Took him to Gilgal. But Elisha wants Elisha to know that when he makes that commitment, he doesn't have to go it alone. Amen. But then look what happens. Then look what happens. The great teacher, the great mentor, teaching his student a great lesson for each of us from the greatest teacher the world has ever known. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold you ye your peace. He got down to Jericho. How many remember Jericho? Now, you didn't remember Bethel. You didn't remember Gilgal. How many remember Jericho? Now, that's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. The first thing that happened when they crossed over into Jordan was they was staring at this massive, supposedly impregnable city of Jericho. Everybody thought that Jericho couldn't be defeated. The historians say that there had been several centuries that the city of Jericho had been there. It had been assaulted many times, but had never been defeated, had never been taken. Any obstacle seemed insurmountable, but praise God, as Brother J.R. Briones said one time, we need to look at our big problems and say, problem, I want you to see my big God. Amen. My God is bigger than my problems. Amen. My God is greater than the sum of everything that can stand before me. And praise God, as he got to Jericho, and as they looked and they seen the walls of the city, they knew the reputation thereof. But praise God, they had the promise of God that was with them, that he would fight the battle for them. They had the promise of God that was with them, that he would go before them and he would give them victory. They had the promise of God. And sometimes, folks, and when we want the power of God, we need to learn to stand on the promises of God. Amen. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises, and go out looking for a substitute. Go out looking for something else. We have financial problems, and we don't stand on the promise of trusting God. We're out trying to beg, borrow, and steal anything that we can get to help us to surmount our problems. Amen. We have problems with our relationships. Instead of taking them to the Lord, instead of letting the Lord deal with the problems and standing on his promises, praise God, we try to deal with it ourselves, and we just bungle it all up and make a mess out of things. We face problems in different ways, and different people. There are all kinds of problems that we have, and you know what the biggest problems are? You know what the most important problem is? It's your problem. Amen. It doesn't matter what someone else is. It's just like Brother Craig Edwards said, you know when surgery is serious? When it's on you. Amen. You might be going to get a wart removed. Amen. It might not mean anything to anybody else. But when it's on you, it's serious. Amen. You know when a problem is a big problem? When it's your problem. Amen. Everybody else might look at that. What in the world are they worried about that for? Amen. What in the world are they fretting about that for? Because it's not their problem. It's your problem. Amen. And when it's your problem, it's a big problem. But let me tell you something. I got a big problem solver, God. Amen. I got a God that's able to meet every need that you have. He's able to help you surmount every obstacle that's before you. He's able to give you victory where it seems like no victory can be had. You want power in your life. You want to walk with Holy Ghost power. You need to learn to stand on the promises of God. Jericho was a reminder of the faithfulness of God. Jericho was a reminder of the victories that God gives in the midst of unsurmountable situations. Jericho was the epitome of what God is able to do in the lives of those who will depend upon Him and trust in Him. A day or so, I guess a night before the battle, I don't know, don't say just when, but Jericho was there, and old Joshua, old Captain General Joshua, whatever you want to call him, he was standing over by the gates of Jericho, by the walls of Jericho, and he seen a man standing there with a sword in his hand. And he says, are you for us? Are you for the adversaries? And he says, nay, as captain of the Lord's host, I've come. Praise God. Didn't he say he would never leave us nor forsake us? Didn't he say he would always be there? Didn't he say that he would go before us? Amen. His promises are unfailing. His promises are unwavering. His promises don't change from generation to generation. He told Jacob, I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll help you whatever I send you to do. He told the children of Israel, he said, I'll go before you in the battle. I'll be there before you. And when Joshua got over there, he found out that the promises of God, amen, were unfailing. Amen. He said, take off your shoes. He said, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Amen. I tell you what, you want to have some power of God, try getting on some holy ground. Amen. You say, how do I get on holy ground? I'll tell you how. It's real easy. You got to get to where God is. Amen. You ain't going to find him down at the beach. You ain't going to find him out in nature, out in the woods. You're going to find him where he tells you he can be found. He's everywhere, and he can be anywhere. Amen. But the best place to find him is where he said he's going to be, where his people are gathered together. Amen. You know what the psalmist said, Psalm 22? He said, thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. You know what? When we get together and we praise him, we worship him, we uplift him, you know what happens? He shows up. Amen. You know what happened when he shows up? Things begin to turn around. What looked down, what was looking down begins to look up. Amen. What was looking gloomy begins to look joyful. Those folks that come in are sitting there looking at me with a scowl on their face. The Lord shows up. He begins to move. He begins to stir hearts. And that old scowl turns into a smile. That old frown turns into joy. Amen. I tell you what, it's a big difference when the Lord shows up. Amen. You know, the preacher cannot show up and you can still have a good service. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. God honors preaching. Amen. God acknowledges preaching. God expects preaching. He expects the preacher to preach when he tells him to preach, but he expects the preacher to shut up when he tells him to shut up. Amen. But when God shows up, there's nothing like it. When God shows up, there's victory. God told Joshua, he said, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given it into thy hand the king of Jericho and all the mighty men of valor. Amen. There is no power like God's power. Amen. There is no victory like God's victory. There is no joy like God's joy. But then Elijah tells him, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Look, Gilgal, the place of affirmation. Today, if you've not made Jesus your all in all, if you've not made him everything to you, Let this be your Gilgal today. Let this be the place where you ask Jesus in your heart and you give him your heart and your soul. You give him your whole life. You give him everything. Amen. Let this today, if you feel like you're alone and you feel like you're in the battle alone, let this be your Bethel today. The place where you know that God is always with you. He said he'll go with you wherever you go. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Let this be your Bethel today. If you're here this morning and you're facing an unsurmountable battle and it looks like everything is against you and you're not going to find victory and you can't get through this thing and you can't win, let this today be your Jericho, your place of reminder that you can stand upon the promises of God, because not one word of the promises that God has made has ever failed. Amen. Amen. But today, maybe God is dealing with you about something. And today, this is your Jordan. Today, things need to change, and things are about to change. He got down to Jordan. You see, Jordan was the difference between wandering in the wilderness and living in the promised land. Amen. Jordan was the difference in the way things were before and the way things are now. Jordan is the difference between the old way and the new way. Jordan can be the difference between the old man and the new man in your spiritual life today, according to what God has for you to do. When they crossed over Jordan and they came into the promised land, everything changed. When Elijah and Elijah crossed over Jordan, everything changed. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Things are about to change. They've crossed Jordan again. Things are about to change. They get on the other side of Jordan. Elijah says, "Tell me what you want." He says, "I want a double portion of the Spirit that rests in you." He said, "That's a hard thing. But here's the conditions. It's a hard thing. But God has to grant it. God has to permit it. It's a hard thing. But we'll see what we can do." And you know the story. The chariot of fire come and took Elijah up into heaven. His mantle fell upon Elijah. Elijah rent his garments. Amen. You know what that represents? A new beginning. Amen. I'm starting over. Amen. I'm not the old man I used to be. I'm not just the prophet that poured the water on the hands of Elijah anymore. Now I've taken up the mantle of Elijah, and I'm the prophet in his stead. And now the old man has a new job. The old man has a new description. The old man has a new future. The old man has a new hope. The old man has a new responsibility. And praise God, he took up the mantle and he walked back to Jordan and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he smote the waters with the mantle again, and the waters parted, and he stepped into a new role. He stepped into a new responsibility. He stepped into a new reality in his life. And the 50 prophets of the school of the prophets that had come to watch him there bowed down before him, because they knew that the power of God that had been on Elijah now rested on Elijah. I want you to know this morning that God still opens doors. God still parts the waters. God still has new beginnings for those who will step to the place where he wants you to step. He brings you to the place of salvation. He says all you got to do is accept this gift and walk through this door, and you'll have eternal life. And if you ask Jesus into your heart, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will save you. He'll save save you, and he'll give you a new beginning. A child of God, don't get comfortable where you are. When God opens the door before you, don't try to shut it, and don't try to go back to the door that's behind you. Just keep going forward. When God sets a new beginning in your life, when God puts a new beginning before you, be willing to go where God wants you to go, and do what God wants you to do, even though you don't understand it and don't know it and are unsure about it. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, when they got into Gilgal, let me go read it to you. In Joshua chapter 5, verse number 11 says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cake and parched corn in the self same day. Listen, verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked and said, behold, that's when he seen the captain of the Lord's host. The manna ceased. They ate corn. The manna ceased, and they ate of the fruit of the land. The manna ceased, and things had changed. The manna ceased, and now a new beginning, a new reality was upon them. Things had changed. Things weren't the way they were going to be. And there was no longer a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Things have changed. Now, instead of a pillar, they were led by the Spirit of God. And now, instead of God being a fortress about them and guarding them as they were in the wilderness, praise God, he stood as the captain of the Lord's host. Now, as the things had changed, they had to depend upon God, and they had to trust in God in a different manner and in a different light. Because the old things that they had known, some of these their entire life, some of these had never lived outside of being able to walk outside of their tent and seeing the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. Some of them had never lived and not tasted manna every day. Some of them had not lived and not known God doing absolutely everything for them, bringing water from the rock, bringing manna from heaven, quails from the east. Now God says, it's time to walk by faith. It's time to stand on the promises. It's time to realize, I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. It's time to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. Many of us get to Jericho and we see the great victories. But we get to Jordan and we just don't want to cross over. Ephraim and half the tribe of Manasseh, they found good grazing land on the other side of Jordan, on the wrong side. And people thought they were not willing to follow the Lord. They were rebelling like their fathers had done and had caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But they said, no, it's just good grazing land. We're going to go over. We'll go over and we'll fight the fight. You see, when we cross Jordan, there's going to be some battles. When we cross Jordan, there's going to be some things that are different and new. Things aren't just going to fall into your lap any longer. When we cross over Jordan, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. See, some folks get to Jordan and they don't want to cross over. They don't want to go over. But all the promises of God rest in the promised land. If you want to live in power and you want to know the power of God upon your life, you got to be willing to cross over Jordan. You got to be willing to accept the unknown, to walk by faith and not by sight, and let Him have His direction, to let Him have His complete sway in your life, and follow Him wherever He leads you, no matter what may. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.